Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area. I want to invite you now to join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he dynamically shares another life-transforming message from God's Word.
Guys, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 this morning. Certainly very glad that you are here. Of all the places that you could be today, you have chosen wisely. And so we are glad that you are with us this morning. We are in our series on family values. The Leo Burnett, a famous advertising agency, did a survey a few years ago about lying. And they reported in that survey, they tried to figure out who lies, how we lie, and when we lie. And they came up with some pretty interesting factoids. First and foremost, and I don't think you're surprised by this, but 91% of all Americans confess to lying. What is most surprising about that is that they don't just confess, yeah, I lied as a kid, but they confess to lying regularly. Regularly. 20% admitted that they couldn't get through even one day without lying. A few years ago, Time magazine did a similar cover story, and the theme of that particular issue was lying, everybody's doing it. And the feature article revealed something that that I found very saddening. And what was sad is that they revealed that 66% of the country sees nothing wrong with lying. And these reports really highlight what you and I already know to be true, that we as a society have moved away, dramatically from a time when a person's word was their bond, right? And we are now in a society where people are more accepting of falsehoods and misrepresentations than ever before, and it's almost like it's expected to be part of our society. And that acceptance has changed the moral landscape of our country. So we've been talking, not just for that reason, but we've been talking about different values that are important not just for families, but for society. And mainly because we understand that we are living in a values vacuum, if it were. Our country's in a moral crisis. I keep saying that. And the reason I keep saying that is because it continues to be true, right? We're in a moral crisis, and what that basically means is that we no longer know what's right or what's wrong. We no longer know what's true or what's false. And when we have lost our way concerning righteousness and unrighteousness, then we're in danger of losing our soul, right? So we have to do something about it. In the book, The Day That America Told the Truth, the author James Patterson reports that 93% of people say that they decide moral issues basically on their own experiences or feelings. So in other words, there is no rule of law that determines what right or wrong is. What's right or wrong right now, 93% of the people in our country are determining what's right or wrong by nothing more than what they feel, what they experience. And that's sad, because the result of that is 86% lie regularly to their parents, 75% lie to their friends, and 70% lie to their spouses. Once more, all those stats point to the moral decay that we're living in, and here's what we can do. One is we can pray. You need to pray for this country. But not just this country. You need to pray for your community. But not just your community. You need to pray for your church. But not just your church. You need to pray for your family. And you need to pray for yourself. Because our community is nothing more than representation of our churches. You want to change community, you want to change the country, you change your community, you want to change your community, you change your church. You want to change your church, you got to change your family. You want to change your family, it begins with your own personal commitment. Commitment to what? To God's values, right? So we pray. We pray for our communities and our families and our churches and ourselves. And one thing that we could do aside from praying is making a commitment to return to the values that God outlined for us over 3,500 years ago. Values that we call the Ten Commandments, right? These commandments, they still pertain to us, right? They strengthen our families, they strengthen society, they restore and they return order, they teach us respect, they teach us right from wrong. You don't need to look much further than Exodus 20 to get a basic idea of what's right and what's wrong. And so they teach us proper limits and proper responsibilities. If you don't understand what your limits are, then your personal freedoms become anarchy. So you need to understand that there are limits. We appreciate limits. We appreciate the rail, in the mountain road that keeps me from falling over the edge. Now, I may be an eyesore. You may not like it. You might say, man was here. But listen, you appreciate that that's there to prevent you from going over should that road become slippery. And so too it is with the Ten Commandments. They're there for us, for God to help us, not to hurt us. Now, understand that what I'm talking to you is mainly about Christian character, and I'm mainly teaching you about the values. I'm not telling you that keeping the commandments will save you. They will never save you. Right? So I need to keep saying that, offering you that disclaimer, because you need to understand that they're good for society, but they will never be sufficient to save us. In fact, the Bible says it very clearly. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There is none righteous, no, not one. Right? So we, throughout the ages, have revealed something that is true, and that's true to every single person. We have this innate inability to keep the commandments. But with God's help, we can restore order back to our families and back to our values. And so that's exactly what we're talking about. We're not talking about salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's solo faith. Only faith through grace, right? So today we look at a command that deals with lying. Okay, he gave us this command for our own good. In verse 16 of Exodus 20, the Amplified Version says, "You shall not witness falsely against your neighbor." What is a lie? A lie is a statement of what you know to be incorrect with the intent to deceive. So particularly, specifically, this ninth commandment, okay, concerns giving false testimony against someone that would cause that person unjustified harm or pain or heartache, right? And in fact, the literal translation of it is that you will not answer as a lying witness. The idea there is that you're being called to court as a witness in a case, and you're there to say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's what God wanted within that community of believers that he started called the nation of Israel. That's what he wanted to represent his community. Okay, that's what he wanted them to value. You cannot lie about each other. You cannot bear a false witness. Now, when you bear a false witness, you're making something look like it's not. So God gave us this law. Why? So that we can protect our neighbor's name, right? And that means that you don't speak falsely about your neighbor. That means that you don't deceive your neighbor. That means you don't make things up that would damage your neighbor's reputation. God says you want to create a great society. You want to create a great country. You want to create a great culture. Then you have to be truthful at all times. Be honest. Be people of integrity, right? I remember I read a few years ago about a university professor named Sarrett, Madison Sarrett. He taught math at Vanderbilt University. And he was known for bringing his students in. And he's saying, today you're going to have two exams. And everybody get all worked up. What do you mean two exams? We only study for one exam. And they get worked up. Take it easy. Take it easy. He says, today I'm giving you two exams. Okay. One is in trigonometry. The other is an honesty. It says there are many good people in the world because I hope you pass them both. But if you have to fail one, I hope you fail the trigonometry test. Why? Because there are a lot of good people in the world who can't pass trig. But there are not any good people in the world who cannot pass the examination of honesty. I like that. I've used it myself a couple of times because I think it resonates with us, right? Now, when you think about the command, it deals with the intention to mislead, right? And misleading can take on so many different ways and forms. You know, today we call it spin, right? Or we call it sensationalizing it, or we call embellishing or smudging the truth a bit, right? And the thing is that when we mislead in several ways, and one way is when we conceal necessary information. Somebody once said, when you tell half a truth, you're telling a whole lie. But sometimes we conceal things that benefit us. And what does that fall into? That falls into the intention to mislead. Right? So you're withholding the information. If somebody were selling you something, you're withholding information. What's in the fine print? Always read the fine print. Why? Because in the fine print is everything that the salesperson never told you about, that you probably want to know that you're getting into a contract for 50 years. Right? You would think that's important, right? You would want to know that when that person that's selling you their car is telling you this car runs great, you'd want to know it's been having transmission problems lately, wouldn't you? You'd want to know the AC is not working, wouldn't you? You'd want to know that the brakes are working, wouldn't you? There's some information that you deem necessary that would become deal breakers. And here's what this command entails. Don't mislead. The intention is that don't mislead, right? Now, we also mislead when we make a false statement about a person so that it damages their reputation, right? Another word for this is slander. Do you realize that we have an enemy? His name is the devil. Do you know what what devil means? Slander. A slanderer is someone who accuses, right? So that's why the devil is known as the accuser of the brethren. That's the main thing that he does. He comes and he accuses. He accuses you before God. He accuses your conscience. He accuses you before other people. He's constantly fabricating and making things up, okay, to what? To knock you down. So we mislead when you make a false statement. And not only do we mislead when we make a false statement, sometimes we mislead by making a statement that infers something, right? So if all of a sudden, George comes in and I say to you, man, I'm really glad that George is sober today. That's a true statement, is it not? It may be, but what do you immediately think about? George has a problem drinking. George has been hitting the bottle lately, right? So you could even infer, and what are you doing? The intention is you're saying something that may be true, but the intention might be to mislead. So you mislead when you make false statements or when you make inferences that will cast a negative light on someone else. Another way that we deceive is we deceive through hypocrisy. What's hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is when I pretend to be something that I'm not. I think the challenge of spiritual formation and of Christian living is the challenge of I want to be true before God, and I want to be true before people. I want people to know that what they see is what they get, that I'm not making things up, that I'm not putting on my Christian hat today with Christian folks and my secular hat tomorrow with my worldly buddies. We want to know that we're people. What does that deal with? That deals with integrity. Okay, that deals with being honest, and so one way that we deceive is when we're hypocritical. So it's a form of deception. It's causing others to think something about you that you do not believe or that you do not live. Another way that we intend to mislead is that we mislead through gossip. Okay, we also mislead through little white lies. What are little white lies? Little white lies are things that we say that seem innocuous or seem harmless, but we say it to spare ourselves grief, or to make ourselves look better. Does this dress make me look fat? Watch it. That's a trap. Right? Now, this is just a little trivial thing. Do you know what we lie about the most? Three things that we lie about the most. Four things that we lie about the most. One, we lie about our age. I'm 35, you know. We lie about how much we weigh. I can't possibly weigh that much. The scales don't lie, brother. Okay. We lie about our income. And we lie about our hair color. Now why so much lying? One reason why there's so much lying is that we're making it up as we go along in this country, right? We kind of set our own morals and set our own values based on what we feel, and we don't have a measure of truth. And so many people lie because they don't see anything wrong with it. They were taught that, okay? Other people lie to hurt or to get an advantage. But most people lie, if you were to find out why they lie, most people lie because of some sort of fear. Some sort of fear, the fear of the consequences, fear of rejection, fear of not being respected. And so fear tends to be one of the primary motivators that causes us to mislead or to misrepresent, right? And so sometimes we lie because we want to avoid the circumstances. Right, we want to avoid the consequences of those of different what different circumstances might bring us. All of our choices have immediate benefits and consequences. So if you're caught in a situation where you need to give a report, where you need to say what you know to be true, it's very possible that the moment you say the truth, okay, that you're going to receive immediate consequences for saying the truth. But there'll be long-term benefits. On the contrary, you could take it the other way. And if you deceive, okay, you might lie and you may get out of some hot water lying immediately. So there's some immediate benefits to lying, but there are long-term consequences. So you have to decide. Right, so usually we lie because we want to escape immediate consequences, or we do it to protect ourselves or to prevent embarrassment, and so we come up with all the common little lies that we know to be lie. I didn't know you called. I never got your message. How about this one? The check's in the mail. I mailed that 2 years ago. I mailed that 2 months ago. Okay. How about this one? The dog ate my homework. Both of you never use that one. So what happens is that we lie because we see that there's a certain benefit that we can get from lying. Now here's what the Bible says, that the fear of man in Proverbs says, the fear of man brings a snare. Whenever you lie because you're trying to avoid the consequences or the wrath of man, you are setting a trap for yourself. One of the main reasons that I think people lie is the fear that we all know all too well is the fear the fear of rejection, right? And what happens is the fear of rejection reveals the insecurities that we have. Because we want people to like us. We want people to, you know, we want to remain in people's favor. And so we lie to be accepted. And this fear of this insecurity is one way in which we're afraid. We fear rejection or this inferiority. And so when I feel insecure, when I feel inferior, I will lie in order to impress you. And so I'll cover up my low sense of self-worth by embellishing things. So I'll begin to brag about things that I've done. And bragging and lying are first cousins. They go together, right? And so when you exaggerate to prop yourself up, okay, you lie in a way to hide your insecurity. And what is that? That's fear of being rejected. Fear that if people discover who I really am, they may not like me. They may not want to be with me. And so when I begin to think that I'm not good enough as I am right now with my faults and my weaknesses and my shortcomings, okay, so what happens is that I have to now inflate my resume. In fact, 40% of people's resume is already inflated, studies show. What does that mean? That means that you put things there that are not true. You put things there with the intent to mislead. Graduate of Princeton. Princeton preschool in Goulds. Oh, but you left out the preschool and the in Goulds part, right? to inflate, to make people think, you know, higher, more of you than what you really are, and so we do that to try to get people to like us. Now, there's another reason. This fear of rejection is another reason why we lie when we try to hide our hurt. Okay, sometimes other people hurt us deeply. But our pride won't let us confess that, right? So we deny it. I'm telling you, it's better to be rejected because you told the truth than to be accepted because you told a lie. That's God's word. That's God's expectation of us, right? So where's the real problem? The real problem is that when I lie, I create a mistrust. So in a way, the very thing you're wanting, which is to connect with people, to have people's favor, the very thing you and I crave relationally from one another, acceptance and connection, is the very thing you sabotage by lying. Because now you're creating a mistrust, right? Now you have forgotten that telling the truth, what it does, it builds trust, right? So, but deception destroys that trust. If you're a dishonest person, you will jump from relationship to relationship until people discover that you continue to deceive. And then what will they do? They'll continue to avoid you. You have to live forever with the consequences of being doubted. Okay, you may be telling me the truth right now, but in my mind, I will always be wondering, are you telling me the truth or did you just lie to me like you did last week? I don't know where this quote came from, but you've probably heard it before. It's attributed to a couple of different people, and so I don't know who to say, so I'm not going to attribute it to anyone. But it says, what upsets me is not that you lied to me, but that from now on, I can no longer believe you. So deceiving creates mistrust. Lying, however, is not the real issue. The real issue goes much deeper, right? Lying is merely a symptom of something that's in the heart. Look with me for a moment in Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 34, Jesus says, "For the outflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." So when you think about this honesty, you think about deception, what does that show? It shows that dishonesty and deception only comes out because it originates in the heart, right? The real problem is not your mouth. The real problem is the heart. Lying indicates what you have inside. If you turn over a few pages from Matthew 12 and look at Matthew 15, it says, "For out from the heart come evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." Jesus is saying, whatever you have in your heart, that's what's going to come out. Guaranteed. You can only suppress it and hide it for so long. If it's in there, it will come out, right? So if my heart is filled with anger and with bitterness and with fear and worry and insecurity and selfishness and greed, it's all going to come out. So too with deception. If your heart is filled with these things, then lying is going to be natural. So as I grow in my faith, I have to deal with what's causing me to lie. And what's causing me to lie is a heart that has not yet experienced conversion or what we call regeneration. But once I understand the root problem, I realize that I can deal with the root issue. The fruit of a bad tree, of a bad root, okay, is going to be bad. I can't just change the fruit. I have to change the root. And what is the root? What are we talking about? We're talking about the heart, right? And so how do I begin to tell the truth? How do I commit myself to embracing this value that God says is so important for me, for my life, for my family, for my society? How do I begin to embrace that? Number one, it's not a matter of you saying just tell the truth. You need a new heart. The only way to stop lying is to get a new heart. And Jesus specializes in heart transplants. Right? Jesus says, let me take that heart of yours that's been hard, it's been deceived, it's been, you know, that's gone astray, and let me replace the deception, let me replace the selfishness with joy and with love and with peace instead. And with confidence instead of insecurity. It's that insecurity that's causing you to lie. Let me give you real hope. Let me give you real purpose, right? So now think about it this way. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. So that means that the closer you and I get to Jesus, okay, the more we're going to love the truth. The more we're going to be repulsed by the lie. The more we're going to be repulsed by all types of deception, not just the lies, okay? But the more we're going to be turned off by what we thought was so natural in our previous life, we're going to understand the Holy Spirit is going to put his finger on the conscience of our mind and say, listen, you made a living, okay, with your street smarts. You made a living being a con artist. You made a living this way, but now you're not going to make a living this way anymore. If you're embracing me as your Savior, as the truth, you need to start to love the truth. The closer you get to Jesus, you will love the truth more, you will live the truth more, and you're going to speak the truth more. So that, I think, to us becomes a key. You want to stop lying, stop deceiving, stop misrepresenting. Make a conscious effort to get closer to Jesus. You want to break that ugly habit, okay? Begin by asking the Lord, Lord, let your character, okay? Let what's true in you be true in me. Let your characteristics reveal themselves in me rather than the old person and the old things that I used to do in my former life before I knew you. So get a new heart. Here's the second thing. You have to choose character over reputation. There's a difference, right? If you're more interested in your reputation than in your Christian testimony, then you're going to lie to build up your reputation. So you have to make a choice. See, reputation is what other people think you are, but character is what you really are. Reputation is what you want everybody else to believe and to see, but character is what you really are when no one's looking. Right? Reputation is what impresses people, but character is what impresses God. Right? So character of those two, character will last all into eternity. And so when you're more interested in character than reputation, guess what's going to happen? You're going to tell the truth even if it's not good for your reputation. Even if it means you're going to take a shot. Maybe it means that you're going to miss a career promotion. Why? Because you wouldn't lie under a certain situation. Now the boss is ticked off with you because you caused the company harm, and now you're no longer going to be promoted, and so you're taking a hit. But listen, I'd rather take a hit by man than take a hit by God. Right? And so our character, think about this for a moment, because your character really is a reflection of your conversion or lack thereof. The Bible talks about Satan as being the father of lies. So you and I have to ask ourselves the question, who do I look like the most? Children should look like their parents. A little bit. At least, right? And so look at what Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 44. And he's telling these religious leaders that try to corner him. He says, You are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and a father of lies. Now compare Satan as the father of lies with who our heavenly father is. How does the Bible describe our heavenly father? He says, God is not a man that he should lie. The Bible describes God as saying, for it is impossible that God should lie. Jesus, we talked about it earlier, says, I am the way, the truth. There is no lie in him. There's no deception in him. So, as you choose between character and reputation, understand that you are mimicking who your father is. Who's your daddy? When you go through genuine conversion, then you could say, my daddy is Jesus, and the characteristics of Jesus are beginning to be reflected in my life. For some people, man, it happens fast. Conversion is quick. For some people, it's a little bit slower, but whatever the case might be, whether it's step by step, here little, there little, or whether it's a radical transformation, we should all be going, working towards the things that honor and that please God. And being honest is one of them, right? So here's the third thing. The second thing was choose character, reputation. And the third point is commit to telling the truth completely. Proverbs 10:10. Someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. If you're a believer, then God expects that everything you say, he expects you to be honest about it. He expects you to say the truth. Now, I say that and I realize, yeah, but you don't understand. And that, you know, in my industry, if I don't lie, I don't make a sale. I don't make a living. I don't bring food to the table. And some of you might be saying, yeah, but it's difficult because sometimes, you know, telling the truth is going to result in a confrontation. It's going to result in a blow up in the family. It's going to result in some kind of conflict. And so we begin to second guess ourselves, right? And we second guess ourselves and we look for alternative routes. And God say, there is no alternative route. Either bow out graciously and say, I refuse to answer on the grounds it may incriminate me. But listen, don't sell your soul. Don't sell your soul. Don't worry so much, God says, about what people will, if people will like you, what they'll think about you. Here's one thing that I know to be true. When people tell the truth, you may not like it at face value, but you appreciate it down the road. And that's one thing we appreciate about honest people. I may not like the fact that you said things to me and maybe you hurt my feelings in the way you said it. But listen, down the road, I'm going to recapitulate. I'm going to come to my senses. I'm going to realize I appreciate that person because they told me the truth. And I think for the most part, that's the way things work out. Now look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, let our lives, this is from the Amplified, let our lives lovingly express the truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. So what should be the guide for the way in which we speak to people. What kind of communication should we have? So here's the alternative. God is saying, rather than deceiving, okay, rather than misleading, here's what you should say. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So here God's saying, I'm giving you an alternative to lying. I want you to tell the truth. But even more so than just telling the truth, I want you to focus not on all the negatives. I want you to focus on the positives. I want you to say things that are helpful one to another, right? I want you to build other people up. Now, imagine if we all thought that way, that I want to say things to you that are going to help to build you up, help to encourage you, help to lift you up. Then you realize that God's given you a tremendously powerful tool with this little thing in between your teeth called the tongue. And that's the final point. The final point here is that we should use our words rather than to deceive. We should use our words to bring healing. We should use our words, what? To bring joy. We should use our words to bring truth into people's lives. Your words have tremendous power. In fact, the Bible says it this way, that in your tongue you possess the power of life and of death. So speak life to people. God's given you power to speak life and to speak blessing. Okay, so you could either hurt people with your words or you can heal them with your words. You could lift them up or you can knock them down. Okay, you could tear them, you can lift them. You can confer blessings on them. You can confer blessings on yourself. You can proclaim the gospel to them. What amazing blessing. Think about it. That God gives us an opportunity. We're entering the month of December. A great opportunity for us, what? To speak the gospel to people. People are searching. Guys, you know what it's like. You're dealing with people at work, at school, and they're helpless, and they're filling their lives with everything. They're looking, they're searching. They're searching, and some of them don't even know what they're searching for, but they're searching. So why don't you just say, God, use my mouth to be an instrument of blessing to other people's lives. I don't want to just talk words of encouragement. I want to give them the good news. In fact, I don't want to just give them the good news. I want to give them the greatest news. We'll be talking about that next month. The greatest news in the history of man. Okay, it materializes right before our eyes in the month of December, where we celebrate the incarnation. And so use your mouth to bring healing, to bring salvation, to bring deliverance. If the power of life and death truly is in your mouth, then listen, use what's in your mouth, not to deceive, not to knock down, not to curse, but to bless and to lift up. How many people don't you know that, man, they need those words? They're knocked down, man. They're beat up, and they're wondering where the hope is. You have the hope. I have hope. We have the answer, okay? We understand. We know how the story ends. We got to bring other people with us, right? And so bring, use your mouth. Use your mouth to proclaim the gospel. There's a scripture in Revelation that really sheds light on this subject. We're going to close with that. Revelation 21. It says, all who are victorious, verse 7, will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars. Whoa. All liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. You know what that means? That means you and I don't have a chance. We don't have a chance. Why? Because we've all been dishonest in different ways. But that's why Jesus Christ came. That's why he came, because he paid the price. He paid the penalty for our sins so that I don't have to wind up in a place like this. So that I can become what? I can become part of the people in verse 7, not part of the people in verse 8. Right? And the people that are victorious, okay, the people that are victorious are those that have very simply said, Lord, I've been dishonest. I've lied. In fact, if I think of the commandments, I've broken a great deal of them, maybe all of them. And I need you to forgive me. At that very moment, God's redemption power comes on the scene and immediately eliminates the sin, eliminates the failures. That's great news.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and He wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust Him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.